Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
It was a good game. Both teams play hard.
With no regard for human life.
To all the non-believers, all we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I got man hits like I was Rod Carew.
Yeah. Can't wait.
What happened offensively in that period?
Turnovers.
What about on the defensive end? They had their most productive quarter. What'd you see there?
Turnovers. Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six.
Not the game that I go out there and die for.
This is grown man B.I.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Relax and take notes.
Hello and welcome to Can't Wait NBA Draft 2015 Extravaganza. We're going to switch things up a little bit. Every once in a while, we like to play with the format here because it's our show and we can do what we want. Typically, we talk about a couple sports things, a pop culture, or a ridiculous thing, but this week, the NBA draft is happening, and this is such a big deal to us that we are devoting the entire show to it. We are each going to play NBA GMs and trade off on picks from 1 through 15. Why 15? Why not stop at the lottery 14? Why not go the whole first round? There's three of us, and we needed a factor of three. There you go, 15 picks. Make sense? I'm your host, Nick Provenis. Joining me in the draft war room, we have Matt Milner.
Hello, hello.
We have Rusty Boulay-Stevenson.
Howdy.
And the way this is going to work is I'm going to pick 1, 4, 7. You get the idea. And then Rusty's 2, 5, 8 through and until you get to 15. And then Matt's the other picks. And so with me on the clock, I am the Minnesota Timberwolves. I will get into the mind of Flip Saunders. I have all the power, coaching, front office. I have a potential franchise superstar in Andrew Wiggins. And I'm obviously picking Karl Anthony Towns. We've talked about this a couple times now. He is the clear number one guy. He projects as a difference maker offensively and defensively at a position of need and a position of scarcity in the NBA. 7 feet tall. He's probably going to be able to score from the perimeter. He's probably going to be able to protect the rim. He can already run the floor. And in just 21 minutes a game at Kentucky, he proved to be the most dominant two-way player in college basketball last year. Karl Anthony Towns is my pick. Any objections?
It makes all the sense in the world.
He's the only guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're at the point in the draft where obviously for the next few days we'll start to hear a lot of silly rumors and inside sources
lies.
And all that.
Just a bunch of lies.
Yeah, a lot of lies. I mean, I think that it would be a real shock if anyone but Towns went number one.
Yeah, there's the rumor that Flip Saunders has been in love with Jahlil Okafor since he was 14 or 15 years old, because everybody has. Towns is better. I think Flip believes it now, too. He's the pick. Number two, Rusty Boulay-Stevenson, you're on the clock.
Okay, so I'm the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers. We need a lot. The Lakers are in real trouble right now.
But you're the Lakers, though. You're always in a position to sign marquee free agents, and you can turn this around quickly if you make this
pick. And I'm taking
that
into account, exactly, is there are a lot of people I can pick up to play center for me who are already established stars. Jahlil Okafor is the consensus right now that the Lakers will take. I would not take him. I would far prefer to build my franchise around D'Angelo Russell. You've got Kobe Bryant right now, and he's a ball hog. If I were running things, I'd try to temper that as best I could. And I don't know that really putting Okafor and Randall, Julius Randall, together is the best idea unless Randall starts shooting from a little further away.
And he's coming off a broken leg. What are you going to get out of him this year?
Yeah, there's not that much you're going to get out of him this year. So I really look for replacing or finding yourself a center. It doesn't have to be Kevin Love. In fact, I don't really particularly – I'm not – in love anymore with Kevin Love at all. He can't play defense for the most part. So I'd even look, I mean, Paul Millsap's an unrestricted free agent. That would be a really great fit for the Lakers. And if you bring D'Angelo Russell in, Kobe's not going to be playing. Maybe this year is his last year as a Laker. And so D'Angelo Russell makes a lot of sense, and you can really build a franchise around him. So that's where I go.
You think Kobe would take that kid under his wing, like knowing that this is probably the last year, and just show him the ropes and like do that weird Kobe mentor thing where he kind of like mentally breaks this kid down to show him what it takes to be in the league? Do you think that's kind of a thing Russell would be up for?
I don't know that Kobe's all that helpful. You know, I mean, we saw it with Dwight Howard, honestly. And I know Dwight Howard's a basket case in and of himself to some extent. But I feel like Kobe chased him off. Is what I really feel like happened
on purpose. He didn't want him around.
Yeah, he didn't want him around. And Kobe doesn't. Kobe still sees it as his franchise, right? Still sees it as his team. Mm-hmm. He's going to take up all kinds of crazy shots next season until he probably gets hurt again. And so I do. I go D'Angelo Russell. I don't look for Kobe to really mentor him. It might be contentious at first, and that might really hurt his development. But I still prefer to try to build a franchise around him as opposed to Okafor, especially with so many. You don't even have to go Paul Millsap. There's Tyson Chandler is available. Robin Lopez is available. There are a lot of ways without paying somebody a max contract that you could fill that center spot very adequately. And as far as that goes, then small forward is something that the Lakers, we would look at bringing in a small forward, Damari Carroll, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler says he likes L.A.
Butler's been hanging around. Like, he's best friends with Mark Wahlberg now, weirdly.
Why not?
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world, right? Jimmy Butler was like at the Entourage premiere. It was strange. And next to Mark Wahlberg, he looked like he was about 6'9", so maybe it was kind of a free agent ploy to make himself look bigger than he is. Pretty sharp. I like Jimmy Butler. So that's a good way to go. The Lakers need to go best available.
Yes.
If they believe
yes, exactly.
D'Angelo Russell's the best available, that's where they'll go. If they think it's Okafor, Kristaps Porzingis is in the mix here. So they need literally everything. Mm-hmm. So whoever they think is the best player, don't draft for need right now. Get talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Porzingis
I like two.
Isn't the worst pick for them either.
But
right?
You would. But who's the coach? Do you trusting Byron Scott to be the mentor? He's situational, this kid, Porzingis. But I think D'Angelo Russell succeeds no matter where he is.
That's right. I agree with you.
So I like it. D'Angelo Russell, too. It's a shocker. It's a mild shocker. It's an upset. So we've got Matt Milner here at 3 with the Philadelphia 76ers. You're Sam Hinkie. What scam are you going to run right now?
So I put on my Sam Hinkie mask here. It's a tight fit, but we've got it on. if I'm Sam Hinkie right now, I'm in my dream scenario.
Yes.
Because I'm sitting here at number 3 with Okafor on the board and Phil Jackson on the other end of the phone and anyone else who wants Okafor as well. And I can say, make an offer. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I'm still in asset collection mode.
Yes.
You know, we still really have needs everywhere. The Embiid situation is a big setback because there was this. I think that if Embiid was healthy coming into this summer and you could count on him playing in the summer league and that you could get a sense for what you were going to be able to get out of him going forward to next year. You know, there are talks that they've been entering into negotiations about a Saric buyout. It would be very easy to see with a healthy Embiid and with the long shot of maybe getting Saric over here, how they could feel the competitive team next year. But with Embiid out, I think that all of a sudden they're right back to where they were.
And it's not the case that Embiid's out for something fluky.
Right.
This is a recurring foot situation.
Right.
That's the last thing you want to start talking about with a 7-footer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially a 7-footer with a, let's call it questionable work ethic. We can't say for sure. He might just be young, but they're not crazy about how he's rehabbing. And he doesn't necessarily keep the weight off. He's not as lean as he was in Kansas. So that's a foot injury that projects to be a nagging concern.
Yeah, so I think that it has to cause them to reevaluate their next steps. But I think the one thing that is certain no matter what is that Hinkie is still in asset collection mode. So I'll look over to Phil Jackson and say, Phil, you want Jahlil. He's on the board. What can you do for me?
That's absolutely what would happen. If Okafor is to slide to 3, Hinkie throws everything else out the window and soaks Phil Jackson for all he's worth. Because did you guys read that New York Times interview that he did with, who was it, him and Chris Mills?
No, I've seen some of the clips from it. I haven't read the whole thing yet.
Phil Jackson's stupid. Can we just be honest about it now? Like, he's a dum-dum. I mean, if he didn't coach Michael and Scottie and Kobe and Shaq, you know, giving the art of war to Ron Artest would not be seen as some amazing coaching move. It'd be seen as like some dum-dum reaching for straws.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he doesn't have superstars, I mean, Carmelo Anthony being, 30 years old, reconstructed knee, and never won anything of consequence in the NBA,
right,
doesn't count as a Shaq, Kobe, Michael, Scotty level superstar. Sorry, mm-hmm. Phil. He just doesn't.
Certainly yeah. not.
And he's now running this organization where he believes he should have gotten some votes for executive of the year for what he did last year. Mm-hmm. And he is running this antiquated style of basketball, questioning the three-pointer, and just being an all-out dum-dum. Mm-hmm. Just the game has passed him by. It yeah. happens. It's no one's fault, but you know, time goes, and you know, it's some, you know, some people come along with a new idea,
right.
and that's kind of where he's at right now.
I think that this draft is going to be a very interesting litmus test for whether Phil is going to be able to rebuild this team into something approximating even a fringe contender, because there are going to be a lot of temptations for Phil Jackson in this draft, assuming that there's not a clear path to Okafor, and he's sitting there at the four spot with Okafor, Russell, and Towns all off the board. The question is, does he trade that pick? Does he keep it? You know, what is the direction that he is going to be able to take this team in? And will he be able to have the patience to recognize that the Knicks are not a one-year turnaround job,
right.
and that you have to be able to stay the course, build a young talent base, that there's no player who's going to be out there available in trade for the number four pick that's going to turn that team around? At least relative to the potential value you can get out of the four pick with the talent that's in this lottery. So bringing it back to our purposes here. So one thing that we made very clear as we were setting up the rules for this is not a mock draft. We're not predicting what will happen. We are, you know, doing what we would do in that situation. So you're not Phil Jackson. You're Nick.
Yep.
The question remains, do you, as the Knicks, feel that Jahlil Okafor is worth throwing some other assets for to move up a spot and take?
How much am I paying Greg Monroe?
Well, that's a good question.
See, I think I've already got him signed. Let's say I've already signed him for $4.60.
Mm-hmm.
Jahlil Okafor is still interesting, but he's not that interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if I've got Monroe, I've got Carmelo, I might try to sign Damari Carroll. I might try to sign Paul Millsap. My front court's going to be pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm giving up the farm for Okafor. If he falls to four, I'm ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what's happening with Jahlil Okafor. There are guys that are rising based on what they do on one end of the floor. But guys that are falling, like Okafor, you know, just in the general consensus of people, like the way that people believe the league is going, he's falling, even though he might be the best offensive prospect in this draft.
Yeah, no question.
And while a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein is seen as somebody that has a lot of momentum right now because of what he can do defensively,
mm-hmm.
there's still value, especially if the league's going small.
Yeah.
If let's say the Warriors were going to try to play the Knicks, this hypothetical fixed Knicks team in a 7-game series,
mm-hmm.
you can't go Draymond Green at center.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it.
Right.
Jahlil Okafor is going to kill you.
Yeah.
So if the whole league tries to go small, I think there's value in going big.
Mm-hmm.
So he falls to four, I'm through the moon. I've got 8 to 9 years of franchise control over an all-star caliber, all-star projecting kind of center.
Mm-hmm.
If I think I'm signing Greg Monroe to a, you know, whatever the max is for somebody that doesn't have his bird rights,
mm-hmm.
I think I stick at four and I take Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for Emmanuel Mudiay here, because I think if we'd have seen him play at SMU with Larry Brown and 35 college basketball games, this is a three-way race for the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
He only played the 10 games in China because of the ankle concern, but anybody that was over there and saw him play was really impressed with how mature he was. He was a leader of that team. He was a vocal leader on a team where he didn't speak the language. And people respected the way he went to work. And he profiles as a John Wall, Russell Westbrook-style power guard. He's 6'5".
Yep.
He can switch on both positions. He's a pass-first guy. He's already got that outlook, that mindset. He's not a ball hog kind of domineering personality on the floor. He looks to set up teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And his jump shot isn't all the way there yet, but it's better than John Wall's was his freshman year at Kentucky. So I'm at four. You've taken Okafor, and you've tried to soak me because you're Sam Hinkie, and that's what you do. I say, I've already got Greg Monroe signed. I can't tell you about it because we're not in the free agency period
right,
yet.
Right.
I'm taking Emmanuel Mudiay, and I'm not returning your phone calls.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And I agree. I mean, I think that when you're in a situation where you're looking at trading up one or two spots, you have to be moving up a tier in terms of draft talent. And I think after Towns, I think that then the next four or five guys are all in the same tier.
There's a nice lump of talent here, and it's just about who you like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And me, I love Moutier.
Yeah.
And I'm New York. I'm not pass. I don't even want to run the triangle anymore. This is stupid. Let's take the best guy.
Yeah.
We have like 2.5 NBA caliber players on this roster. Emmanuel Moutier steps in, and he's somebody you get excited about because he plays hard and he's exciting. And he seems like a New York kind of guy. Like he would really respond to Madison Square Garden.
Right.
I'm thrilled. I have Emmanuel Moutier. You don't have to tell me anything else.
Yeah.
But Phil Jackson's a dummy.
Yeah.
I think he's stupid.
We'll find out, I guess.
I'm getting that sense.
I really think so.
And you know what, Nick? Going back to draft mode here, while the seconds tick off the clock here for the Sixers pick, even though I've said some critical things about Okafor in the past, and I think that the Sixers, from all accounts of what you hear, and as we've said many times before, you can't believe anything of what you hear.
Right.
And especially from the Sixers, they're a pretty tight ship in terms of that operation. But you're not hearing a lot of murmurings of Okafor to the Sixers.
Right.
But I actually think that in a lot of ways, it's his best fit.
He's so good next to Noel.
Exactly.
It makes so much sense.
And then eventually, when Sarge gets over too, I mean, they're going to be pretty stacked at the four. But I think you have to start planning under the assumption that you can't count on Embiid.
Right.
And if he comes back...
It was a worthwhile risk to take, but this was the downside.
Exactly. And you know what? If it pans out and it turns out that you have two all-star level centers, that is a good problem to have. And you can solve that down the line and get more assets.
It's value.
That's right.
Exactly. So I'm going to take Okafor. I'm going to take not only a guy that's going to give me a dominant number one offensive option, which the Sixers desperately need, somebody who you can pair with Noel, and Noel will cover up some of his deficiencies on the pick and roll. It also, I think, for a team that is clearly, in terms of its marketing, trying to turn the page and start to move towards a point where they're telegraphing to their fans and the rest of the league that they're not just in teardown mode, that they want to build for something, I think Okafor is a perfect marketable star to put up on the billboards, who's going to put up the kind of numbers that fans associate with a number one.
He'll win Rookie of the Year if he goes to Philadelphia.
No question. So I'm taking Jahlil Okafor, and I'll let you take your guy with Moutier then.
Moutier's already off the board. The clock hasn't started. I've already taken him. Yeah. We're number five right now, the Orlando Magic, a very pivotal point in this draft. I think what Orlando does will dictate what happens on picks 6 through 11. So, Rusty, Rob Hennigan runs that team right now?
Yep.
They draft there's a type of person they draft, but they have holes. They don't shoot the ball. So do they go with somebody that fits their personality, or do they go with somebody that fills a gap on the roster? What are you doing, Rusty?
This is a tough pick. You've got some really great players here available. I tend to think it's Porzingis here for them.
I love that pick for them, too.
I do, because like we had talked about before in our previous show, they have an ability to train people up and to get them up to speed, and that's what Porzingis is going to need. He's going to need a year or two, but he is the shooter you want. Looking at him shoot, I mean, he's such a pretty shooter. It would be silly, for him to drop much further at this point. And you've got a little bit of a glut there at power forward, but you figure it out,
I don't even think he's necessarily a power forward. He's just kind of this rangy guy. Like, we brought up the Andre Kirilenko comparison last time we talked
about
Porzingis.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. He's 4 inches taller than Andre Kirilenko.
Right. He's an enormous Kirilenko, but he seems positionless just based on what he can do on both ends of the floor.
Right.
So I think he fits. Two personality wise, I think he's kind of he's a shy, quiet kid, but like on the floor, he kind of plays with a cocky swagger, kind of the way that Oladipo and Elfrid Payton do.
He's also a fluent English speaker, which is not to be overlooked when it comes to these European prospects.
Yeah, the culture shock is not going to be there the same as it is for some of the other ones. He's Americanized.
Yeah, and he's going from the second best league in the world to the NBA. It's not like he's going from the Greek second division youth teams to the NBA. I mean, after playing up against the teams in the first division league in Spain, he's been playing against fringe NBA players and NBA players, you know, while he vote for the past season. So,
and he fits their age track. Like, you look at the guys that matter on that roster. Their core is Oladipo, Peyton, Aaron Gordon. If they re-sign Tobias Harris, these are all guys under 25. Mm-hmm. And so you would bring him in. He's, what, 19 right now?
Yeah.
Maybe 19.
Yep.
And by the time he turns into the player you hope he is, he's part of the core. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And with, like you said, with his shooting ability on a team of, you know, average to below average shooters, it just makes all the sense.
It makes all the sense. Justice Winslow is also a decent pick here.
Well, he's the guy that fits their personality.
Yeah. No, he does. He does, exactly. And I certainly, I kind of had him a step ahead of Porzingis for Orlando, but in the end, it's hard to really pass up on Porzingis, I think, especially when you need a shooter.
The upside is just too much to really
exactly.
turn down.
At the five pick, that seems like a steal.
Yeah.
It really does seem like a steal. So,
that's our first five. I think we're going to take a little bit of a break right now because we have knocked this out and then some. We know what we're doing. NBA teams, give us a call. You're going to hear two more segments of this high-level draft talk. Up next, number six, the Sacramento Kings. Matt Milner will be making that pick here on Can't Wait.